This morning's reading continues from last week's reading, Prophecy of the New Covenant. God is not a person. God is the whole of creation in its original and pristine state, which is the divine creation or first thought of God. The material universe as part of that divine creation in a secondary condition or state is nevertheless part of God's creation, even though it is removed from the original state. God's second advent consists of the first thought of God spreading outward like light from a spiritual son, the father of all sons, investing all substance and mind in whatever form with an instinctive urge to return to the first condition, which is God. Human individuals require direction and instruction if they are to understand this inner motivating urge and give it purpose and meaning. The man could see that a new universal and divine religion, founded by inspiration and authority, one which taught that God is consubstantial in the unity of image and word, manifest as divine light, that is, the greatest religion ever known in the world, was necessary if the races of the world were to be brought together. This new religion would teach people how to participate in their godhood within the light manifest. While the great Son of God seeks to restore the creation to unity, he could see that it was necessary that the ordained in the new community, those who vowed to the new religion, inspire humankind to receive that light and to reflect it back to the source. The creation being restored to order could include the races of the earth only as long as they responded to the image and word within the light of God. The man had traveled about the world to study old world religions, and he did learn much from the writings and sayings of former sages and wise ones who had contributed so much to human understanding of the divine. He had compiled this knowledge into many volumes so that it might be shared with the community. Though he had learned much in his travels, he had learned much more from inspiration and by discovering hidden meanings locked away in the sacred scriptures, true meanings which cannot be known or understood without firsthand knowledge of and experience with the religious techniques employed by the writers. These techniques included the absorption of light and energy from the sun of the solar system, and above all, a contact with the divine light from the Godhead itself. The ancients considered God to be within the sun. This concept was based upon oral traditions that went back to the golden age of the world. It went back to those former religious systems that had evolutionized over many thousands of years before written history, when this solar religion was preserved by priesthoods who passed along knowledge of the system by word of mouth to keep it from the uninitiated and profane. He had learned that the whole of the human family, past, present, and future, forms part of the Godhead in spirit, and that every human who has ever lived or will ever live should be loved equally and constantly. Each individual of whatever race, creed, or religion is part of the human family. Each forms part of the very nature and being of those living in the present. Humans are therefore obliged to love all peoples everywhere. By failing to do this, they injure themselves. God intends to redeem every human, and it is the responsibility of every human to assist God in the second advent of his coming in order to help redeem the whole human race. People must needs be universal in this respect. Their thoughts must not be of their own redemption, but of the redemption of all humans everywhere. And though time is relative as regards human redemption, people living in the present are obliged to assist the heavenly powers to restore creation to good and righteous order under God. The human family and not God will be responsible for preventing divine redemption, and each human will share in this fault. In the final age of God's judgment, when every living spirit is called before the great light of God, it is within the power of all humans to embrace this light or to reject it. Those who accept it, those who recognize God's divine presence, share in the heavenly kingdom. Those who reject it pass into the oblivion of selflessness. Each person needs to share in the divine love of God, for by sharing that love, one becomes part of it. One cannot restrict the expression of love to family, friends, countrymen, or to those of a particular race or religion and expect to share in God's universal love. God does not love any one people or any one race or any one religion more than another. Therefore, love must be universal and all-embracing if it is to unite people with the Godhead. Universal love is the first requirement of the peacemaker. In order to love in this way, one must follow the way revealed and live in community and thus partake in the greater blessings and benefits of God extended in his spiritual Son and its manifold aspects. One must hold to the codes of the order while reflecting to the Son. One must reflect love and peace on the human level as well as on the divine level. In so doing, one benefits by loving, and by the reciprocation of that love. For love is the food of the soul that enables one to live a life of righteousness and goodness. And the righteous and good are wise in the ways of God. It is an act of vanity to preach love, peace, righteousness, and goodness without living them. These qualities are part of a person's spiritual nature, not the human nature. God's light manifests to the spirit made a living soul by the image and the word. Those who form part of the living, who reflect love to God and to all humanity, all those who have ever lived or will ever live, will be above all else the catalysts who will bring about peace and spiritual order in the world. For being spiritual, they will be the ones to inspire a following among the divided peoples of the world that will live under the laws of God and not serve any nation or government whose leaders do not hold love and peace to be foremost qualities in men and governments. The peoples of the world must cease following policies of aggression and war, for those are against God's divine law of love and peace. The community teaches against such policies, instructing peoples everywhere to unite under loving and peaceful policies that outlaw aggression and war of any kind. If the peoples of the world were to hold to such loving and peaceful policies, arrogant and dictatorial rulers would be suppressed. It is God's will that peoples of all nations express love among themselves, openly, and neither hide that love in their hearts nor give it to God in secret. To love is to live. Not to live is to perish under God's new spiritual Son. There can be no future for the human race if individuals not love one another now. For God's light, his image and word, comes to restore a loving creation and to displace anything else. That is to say, anything not knowledgeable in God's love will cease to exist for all time. The reward of God's love to all living people is eternal life. The punishment to all non-loving persons is eternal death. The loving condition is a state ruled by divine law, Every person is free to decide his or her own fate within that divine law. In the coming new creation, nothing will exist that is not of God's loving light. And we will now have the blessings.